Welcome back. We have one more presentation. After this presentation, you're going to go into your discussion groups from this morning. You're going to you'll discuss for a time with your group about, you know, what you heard and how it strikes you. And then in your groups, we're going to lay hands and pray on over each other for grace as we're led. For instance, last week at the men's retreat, one of the guys said, gosh, the murmuring and the acedia, those were, that really struck me. So we prayed for grace for him in those areas to begin to be free. I recommend you pray for all of them. It doesn't hurt. I personally don't have any problem with judgment as, oh, wait a second. So since we don't have a prayer meeting tonight, then as time allows, you can pray over each other also for whatever needs that you need prayer for. And that session will go till 4 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock, we're back in here and we'll do a wrap-up. Now, during that wrap-up, I have some very thoughtful things to share, probably life-changing stuff. And then, but then we'll open up the mic and give all of you an opportunity who'd like to come up and share some of the insight what God might be saying to you, okay? So that's the last session. We start at 4. We're out of here by 5:30 the latest, or sooner if no one has anything worth hearing. Okay. I should say worth sharing, because we might share it anyway. Maybe it wasn't worth hearing, but we still heard it. So, okay. This last session is on murmuring. Julie is going to come up and share a hit on the women's retreat. I'm so looking forward to this. So knock us out, Julie, would you?
For those of you who are missing football, Notre Dame is ahead 35-7 at the half. Go Notre Dame. When I was asked to give a sharing on the women's retreat, can you hear me okay? My first thought was, oh, yeah, that's easy, because I thought if you were asked to give a sharing that you could pick your own topic. So I was going to give a sharing on how to take a daily nap and still be productive. And so I said, sure, great, yeah, I'd love to. And then I got the call back, and I was told that I had been assigned the topic of murmuring. And I was like, okay, what do I know about murmuring? So I went to the dictionary, and according to Webster, murmuring is a mumbled or private expression of discontentment, dissatisfaction, dissent, disappointment, regret, grumbling, complaining, fault-finding, murmuring. The word murmur comes from the Latin word murmurari and is described as an audible expression of discontent by grumbling. So murmuring is grumbling that we can hear. Okay, then I thought, so I've definitely got the murmuring thing down. I can do that. So then I started to pray, Lord, what would you like me to say to these amazing, holy, beautiful women and men that will be on this retreat about murmuring? Let your words be mine, because I don't know. And I felt the Lord, in just a quick flash, show me this little scar on my right arm that I had totally forgotten about. When I was about 7 years old, the doctors heard an abnormal sound when they listened to my heart, and they thought that possibly I had a hole in my heart. So they ran, cut me here, and ran something up my vein and shot dye through my heart, and everything was fine. I didn't have a hole in my heart. But one of my valves does not seal completely. So every time it closes, some of the blood leaks back out, and you hear this murmuring sound. And I have to go on antibiotics when I'm in surgery or dental work, because when you don't have a true seal on your valves, there's a risk of infection. And I thought, wow, God, that's a really good analogy. God has given us so many blessings. He's made amazing covenants with us. He's promised to be our God. He's given the blood of his very own son in exchange for our life. He's prepared a place for us in heaven where we will live together in peace and celebrate the victory of the battle over Satan and the world. And when we start murmuring and grumbling about circumstances and situations in our lives, it endangers the blessings that God has poured out on us. It puts them at risk of infection and breaks the seal of our covenant with God. It just makes more difficult in our lives what could be oh so easy if we just let go and let God have his way with us. The book of Exodus in the Old Testament is an excellent example of how murmuring and grumbling can delay God's promises and covenants. The Israelites had been living as slaves in Egypt for 430 years. They cried out to God with groaning and complaints. They weren't just murmuring. They had a valid complaint. God heard that cry of complaint and answered them with a miraculous story we all know. He promised to lead them out of slavery into a good and spacious land, flowing with milk and honey. He chose Moses for this task. And like many of us who are chosen for a task, Moses had some concerns. He wrestled with God. What if they don't believe me? What if they doubt what I say? I don't have speaking abilities, Lord. So God gave him Aaron to assist him. Moses was 80 years old at the time, and Aaron was 83. So don't start thinking about retirement. That's just not an option with God. So off they went out of Egypt, all 600,000 Israelite men, along with their women and children and livestock. What miracles God had performed for them in order to convince Pharaoh to let them go free. He parted the Red Sea so they could cross over to safety. And then after 3 days, 3 days, in the desert after crossing the Red Sea, the Hebrews started to grumble. In Exodus 16:6, here in the desert, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Would that we had died at the Lord's hand in Egypt, but you had to lead us into this desert to starve. Isn't it interesting that they didn't grumble against God? They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They didn't trust their leaders. But in reality, it was God who led them into the desert, not Moses and Aaron. And Moses was right when he replied to the Israelites in Exodus 16:7, "What are we that you should grumble against us? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." And so a journey that should have taken the Israelites a mere 40 days took instead a long 40 years because of their murmuring and grumbling. Do you ever wonder if situations in our lives that seem to be taking forever are perhaps because of our grumbling? Because we are not allowing God's blessings to bear fruit in our life? Because the soil of our heart is full of murmurings? I'm sure there were many women on that 40-year journey in the desert, some who were murmurers and some who were grumblers, some who were not. I want you to imagine with me for a moment. What if we had suddenly discovered and come across the diaries of two of these women and were able to look back at the attitudes of their hearts on that journey? Close your eyes with me for a minute and go back in time to the book of Exodus. One diary entry was written by the wife of Osi. Her name was Shiloh. She wrote, "I awake this morning, O Yahweh, and the heat is so stifling. I cannot bear another day of dust, walking, waiting, and not knowing where we will set up our tents again. I cannot eat another piece of quail meat or manna, or I think I will die. I feel like we have been going around in circles. I don't think Moses and Aaron have any idea what they are doing. Does Moses actually think God can only talk to him and no one else? And those 12 men they chose as leaders to help out, well, I know things about them that Moses doesn't, and I don't think they are the right fit at all. Some of the women were talking today about how some of the men are going to appoint their own leader and lead those who so desire to go back to Egypt. I would rather have a small home with my husband and children and a guaranteed job than wander out here aimlessly in the desert, where we will probably be found one day as dust and bones, the laughingstock of all. Oh, how I long to go back to Egypt and eat the figs and pomegranates and grapes. Another diary entry was written by the wife of Caleb. Her name was Rebecca. She wrote, "It is early in the morning, O Yahweh, and I am just about to leave the tent to go and collect the manna you have sent down from heaven for us. What a great and loving God you are, that you would provide bread from heaven for us, water from the rock, and quail at night for our sustenance. I am so thankful that my husband no longer has to be under the rule of a slave driver, and my sons and daughters will grow up free, learning your commandments that you have passed on to us through Moses. I don't know what the future holds, Yahweh, for I cannot see past the cloud of your glory that goes before us in daylight, or beyond the pillar of fire that protects us at night. But I do know that you have promised to be our God, and you have promised that we are your people. I trust in you, Yahweh. Thank you." When I look back on my own life, I can see that during much of the first half of my life, I was very much like Shiloh, the wife of OC. I was a murmurer and a grumbler. I was adopted as a young child by a wonderful family, a Catholic family. I was surrounded with an abundance of blessings, but my heart was filled with the spirit of rebellion. I grumbled against my parents, which was in actuality grumbling against God because he's the one who placed them in authority over me. I made their lives miserable. If they said no, I said, "Watch me." I'm sure my mom was oftentimes, well, like I feel about my own kids, I'm embarrassed to say that they're mine. Why was I such a grumbler? Because I was convinced that if I had only been where I was supposed to be, back in Egypt with my real mother, that my life would be perfect. I knew so much better than God. For years, I grumbled against God. "How could you abandon me here in this family? I can't stand it. It's terrible." At one point, I am embarrassed to say, but I actually called social services in on my own family and tried to get out of that situation. God never answered me. So one night I remember going to Mother Mary. I almost had the feeling that I was kind of tattling on God. "Mary," I said, "I want to find my birth mother. I know you can understand that. Will you please just talk to Jesus, because he has been absolutely no help in this area." And shortly after that, I did find my birth mother. And I met her, and God gently pulled back the veil and showed me what my life would have been like had I not been raised by the parents he gave me in the family he placed me. And I was devastated. My life would have been one of complete dysfunction. I probably would not have known God at all. I was so remorseful that I had wasted all those years of my life looking a gift horse in the mouth. All that fighting and struggling against God, and then to realize that he had been right all along. I should have been thanking him instead of grumbling against him. And thus it took me almost 25 years to realize what a blessing I had in my parents and my family. Our Blessed Mother was able to say in Luke 1:38, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Mary persevered in intimate union with God by her fiat, by her willingness to be still and let God be God. She pondered these things in her heart. She did not grumble or murmur. She trusted, and thus she did not break the seal of her intimate relationship with God. we have control over our thoughts. In between that first thought and the second thought that follows it, there's a tiny space. And in that tiny little space lies our freedom, a gift from God, to choose to be grateful over being a grumbler. We can hit that pause button and decide to steer the boat that carries our thoughts rather than let the current take them where we would rather not go. This does not mean that we should never express sorrow or make complaints. People are not made of stone or wood. Anyone will cry out when plunged deep in pain. It is just human to do so. The prophets and even our Lord did so. But life is filled with reminders that we really aren't in control. And when those reminders come, children making choices that embarrass us, job loss, unanswered prayer, depression, transition, the dark night of the soul, we often go into a downward spiral of emotional and spiritual distress. When life takes a turn we don't approve of, when expectations we have go unmet, or dreams are left unfulfilled, when our hopes are smashed on the rocks of disappointment, we're tempted to fall into a spirit of murmuring and grumbling. If you haven't had this experience in the past year or so, you probably will. It may be something as small as a bad hair day or as large as a major life crisis, but guaranteed, something in your life, sooner or later, will not go as you expected or planned. Here's the question. When that happens, how will you respond? I want to offer three suggestions. Number one, find someone older, wiser, and holier than you to be a mentor or an advisor. Don't talk to anyone else about it. Be humble, share everything, ask for wisdom and prayer support, and let them help you sort it out. Going to several different people to vent your situation and spread your grumblings around is not going to solve your problems. Ask my mom. I do what I call the emotional garbage dump about once a month. I actually prepare her and I say, I'm just going to vent and I'm just going to dump. So I'll be fine and you can carry it. I feel great. But she's carrying a heavy load. We don't realize that we're putting a load on someone else when we're venting or murmuring. But a mentor or an advisor, especially like as women I know that we have at City of the Lord that have been trained in so many issues, they can help you discern God's voice in the quiet of your own soul instead of the loud voices that the world is yelling at you. Number two, the world offers gift wrap and gift receipts. God doesn't. The world tells us, make it look good on the outside. And as women, especially, who are intuitively creative, we know how to make a gift look really good, even though we know on the inside it's not that great. But it sure is wrapped nice. In Isaiah 55:8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. God doesn't gift wrap. Don't expect to go into your laundry room and find your detergent with a big raffia bow on it. Or go open your pantry to fix dinner for your family and find all of your canned goods wrapped in cute paper with matching tags. Or balloons tied to your steering wheel when you're going to do carpool. Or your checkbook blinged out with rhinestones when you're going to pay bills. Yet all of these situations in our lives are gifts from God. Ordinary holiness. Just like Mary did for 30 years before Jesus left for his public ministry. Day after day after day. Things we do that seem so insignificant, and yet after the fact we realize, wow, that part of my life was really a gift. God's gifts aren't wrapped. Don't let the world fool you into thinking they should be. And number three, stop grumbling and start thanking. Stop moping and start hoping. Stop envying and start serving. Stop criticizing and start uplifting. Eventually, our murmuring spirits begin to spill over into our relationships with harsh tones and sharp words. This is when those you love are hurt by your edginess, stifled by your anger, or wounded by your contempt. Anyone can be a discourager. All it takes is a bit of flesh and an out-of-control tongue. Instead, choose to encourage others. Trade harsh for gentle. Trade caustic for caring. Trade insulting for inspiring. Everyone needs encouragement. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but I do know that murmuring and grumbling won't help make it right. Think of this. Regardless of what's going on, you have today. You have this moment. Rather than descend into murmuring and overlooking the gifts God has given you, choose a different path. Choose your words like an artist chooses his brush and colors. Choose your deeds like a designer chooses his elements. Take every moment and every relationship and turn it into a serving, building, growing, helping opportunity. You are surrounded by people, each one an opportunity to bless someone else. Be it done unto me, Lord. Thank you for the moments of ordinary holiness in my life. I don't understand the situation. I certainly don't see the gift wrap. But I thank you and I pray that you will help us to be still and know that you are God.
It's 3 p.m. A lot of us are tired. Let me encourage you to dig deep, to not miss the opportunity the Lord has here, the grace that is available. So as we do this hour now in our small groups, be open and let the Holy Spirit begin to do that work of setting us free. That's what he's about, setting us free. And so we'll meet back in here at 4:00.